we'll be back here for class that Sunday morning.
Is anybody in Oklahoma doing that?
In Oklahoma?
You got some people in Oklahoma?
Yeah, he's looking for a church home.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll write myself a note, and I'll ask some of the preachers around. Jerry Lockhart and Steve Atwood, they were supposed to have made a list of where churches are and stuff like that, and I'll find out if they have done that. What part of Oklahoma?
I had to call back.
Oklahoma's a big place, man.
I called you.
If you can find out, let me know before we have that trip up there. Give me a holler and let me know. Because Steve Atwood and them was making up a list of preachers and stuff and where they had classes at. And I'll check with some of them at the conference and find out about it. David, don't let me forget to do that.
I try not to.
Okay.
Don't let me forget.
Okay, anything else? Now, there are classes in different areas. Les Feldick, I don't know if he still has a class or not, but he's from Kenner, Oklahoma, and he's pretty good. I mean, you got to understand he preaches the gospel of Christ, and he preaches Paul's epistles, but he doesn't necessarily rightly divide Paul's epistles. But now, he's getting old, and I know the tapes he's having on TV are old tapes. So I don't know if he's still got a class, but he's from Kenner, Oklahoma. And I wouldn't have any problem recommending somebody to go to him, because he does a pretty good job. And he's been doing it for several years. Okay, anything else? Okay, y'all turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 16. I want to talk to you about the church, the body of Christ. When it seems to be some confusion among the religious people of the world about when the church, the body of Christ, started, and I believe we can pinpoint it down if we believe the book. So I'm going to look at Matthew 16 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here. We ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning, to teach us your word by your spirit, to build us up in the faith, and Father, let us believe you mean what you say and be not amazed at the things that we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say as you say it. And Father, this morning we pray for those that are sick. We ask you, Lord, to comfort these people and be with these people and their families as they go through these ordeals that they're faced with. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. And Father, we pray for the upcoming conference that the preachers will preach according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to get honor and glory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church, the body of Christ, and Paul writes 13 epistles to the church, the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to the apostle Paul and gave him a message, and Paul wrote it down in 13 epistles. In Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple, and he told him he was going to send him far hence to the Gentiles. Now, in Acts chapter 9 up to Acts chapter 20, Paul wrote 6 epistles. From Acts 9, when he was saved, up till Acts 20, he wrote in that period of time 6 epistles. After Acts 18, And I'm going to say after Acts 28, Paul wrote seven epistles. Seven epistles. The seven is the number of completeness in the Bible. And there are 13 epistles that Paul wrote totally. Paul did not write the book of Hebrews. Paul wrote 13 books to the church, the body of Christ. Do we need another chair? All right, Paul wrote 13 books to the church, which is called his body. It's not just a building. It's not just a group of people meeting somewhere. It's saved people that believe when Jesus Christ died at Calvary that he paid for all of their sins, and those that believe that are added by the Spirit into this body. Now, when this body is complete and full, the rapture will take place, and God will deal with Israel in the 7-year tribulation over here. Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you cannot find the salvation for the church, the body of Christ. It is not there. You cannot find it in Genesis to Malachi. It is not there. Now listen to me. When I say it's not there, those who first trusted in Christ, members of the body of Christ, if you please, they can find their salvation in the Old Testament Scripture back here. It's hid in the Old Testament Scripture. Those of us that were not in the covenants of promise, you cannot find our salvation in the Old Testament Scriptures. That was a mystery hid in God until revealed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ revealed it to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18, and in Acts 22, when Paul told those Jews, I'm going to go far hence to the Gentiles. He's talking about these Gentiles here that were not in the covenants of promise. They did not bless the seed of Abraham, and they were not in prophecy. We're not in prophecy today. You understand? We got a lot of churches that are trying to preach prophecy in this dispensation here. Now, these here would have been included in it. You understand? They would have been looking for Abraham's blessings. They took on the seed of Abraham by being in Christ. You understand? They took on the seed of Abraham, so they would have been looking for the promises. But Paul told us in Philippians, there's a more excellent way. The more excellent way is we got in by the grace of God, simply, purely by grace, into the body of Christ. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, 1 Timothy 1, verse 11, listen, if you have a question as we're going along here, feel free to just talk about it, okay? If you don't understand something, we'll slow down a little bit and talk about it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Now listen to me. If you study Matthew chapter 12, you'll find that Jesus Christ himself said, you speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world nor in this world to come over here. In other words, Paul blasphemed the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 8. He spoke against Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Y'all taking notes, write them down and study them. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, Paul spoke against Stephen, consented unto his death. Paul, a blasphemer. Paul could not get saved under the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it's Katie bar the door. You can't get forgiveness here nor here. But when God Almighty saved Paul through the Lord Jesus Christ dying for his sins according to the scriptures, a blasphemer can be saved. You understand? You see, there ain't no such thing as a sin that it ain't been forgiven. Now, people don't like that. Could Hussein, whatever that fellow's name was, could he have been saved? Sure could. Is there anybody too bad that God didn't save at Calvary if they will believe the gospel of Christ? Years ago, when I was at Forest Park, we was having a fish fry. They called it homecoming. All the people that lived in that neighborhood would come back every so often. We'd have a fish fry. I was talking to a man. He was standing out back where I was helping cook fish and all. And I said, "Why don't you come into the service?" He said, "Well, I still smoke." So what? He said, "I can't come in until I quit smoking." Who in the boogie doodle told him that? Who told him that God couldn't save him because he smoked? Listen, if God couldn't save you because you did something bad, there ain't none of us could get saved. Amen. Now over here, that's a little different. What must I do to be saved? Not in here. Paul didn't tell you to do anything to the church of body of Christ. He told you to believe something. Believe what? That when Christ died at Calvary, died for all your sins. Now, let's look at this thing in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and a jurist, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first. Now listen to me. Paul is not saved until Acts chapter 9. You understand? Acts chapter 9. Go there. You can drop Timothy, hold Matthew, and go to Acts chapter 9. This is after Paul has blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Now, by the way, you'll find in Acts 9 that his name is Saul. So hold Acts 9 and go to Acts chapter 13. Hold Acts 9 and go to Acts 13, verse 9. Saul is a Jewish name. Paul is a Gentile name. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. He's an apostle to the Gentiles. Now in Acts 13, verse 9, then Saul, in parentheses, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Go back to chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, well, who is this? It's Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. He's a Jew. He's on the road to Damascus. He's persecuting people that believe that Jesus Christ is the King of Israel, the Messiah, the Prince that was to come. Now, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against thy pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Rise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And verse 8, Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But he led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Now, he went to Ananias, and the Lord had already appeared to Ananias and told him that Saul of Tarsus was coming. Now, verse 11, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, that's Ananias, go thy way. He, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. He changed his mind about this thing, didn't he? But did he get saved after he changed his mind or before? Before. Now, Paul is the first member in the church, the body of Christ. Unto me first. You understand? He's the first. There he is. Saul of Tarsus, a blasphemer, the first. Now go to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus Christ is, anybody got red letter, this ought to be in red letter. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now, Peter ain't the rock. You see? The Catholics say Peter's the first pope. That Jesus Christ built his church on Peter. No. I'm going to show you who this rock is. Verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, do you know why he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it? They didn't know he had died for their sins yet, beloved. That wasn't known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Paul's the first to be saved by grace through faith. So Peter, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preaches, he don't know anything about Jesus Christ dying for his sins. It's not been made known to anybody. Paul's the first to look back at Calvary and see that all of his sins were put on Jesus Christ at Calvary, and when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he shed his blood for the remission of their sins and the forgiveness of our sins. You understand? Remission for these people, forgiveness for us. They get forgiveness at the second coming. Those that endure to the end, to the second coming, go into the 1,000-year millennial reign over here. Not so with us. We go up into above all heavens. We're not on this earth. We're not part of Matthew chapter 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. That belongs to Abraham and his seed and his children. And whether them nuts over there in the Far East over there like it or not, someday they got to get out of that land because it belongs to Abraham and his seed. But you know who's going to put them out of it? The United Nations. Beloved, they've been fighting over there since day one, and they're going to continue to fight until the Lord comes back and rules with a rod of iron in the 1,000-year millennial reign. The Lord is going to get them back in their land. There's a highway over here for the children of Israel, as it was for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and roamed around in the wilderness 40 years. There's a highway over here for the remnant of Israel to go into the kingdom over here. And there's a highway over there somewhere, and God knows where it's at, and God's going to lead them on that highway. You know how he's going to lead them? How did he lead them back here out of Egypt? Come on, think. I've done told y'all this a million times.
An angel.
By the way, I might make mention to you, the only time you see the Apostle Paul with any angels is when he's allied with Israel. You know that? After these, when he wrote these seven books over here to the church, the body of Christ, that were in the church, the body of Christ, by grace only, not by covenant promises, no angels. No angels. I tell you what, dude, I done opened that worm up, so let's look at it. I'm glad that Buddy brought his little old worm this morning. I'm going to chase a worm here now. Go to Exodus chapter 23. Hold Matthew. Go to Exodus chapter 23. You see, there's so much confusion in the world today, the world don't know what to believe. I asked a man yesterday about his salvation. You know what he told me? He's in an organization and he's a Christian. And I asked him, yeah, but what about your salvation? Well, he's a little bit confused anyway with the situation that he's involved with, so I didn't press him until I talked to him a little later. You can't join an organization and be saved. You understand? You can't join the Methodist, the Baptist, the Catholic, or this group here, or any other group, and be saved. The only thing that will save you is what Jesus Christ did at Calvary for you when he paid for your sins. And when you believe that, you ain't got nothing to join.
That's what I told you. One way, that's the body of Christ.
Yes.
If you have me, what denomination? I told the body of Christ.
Right.
Ain't one
way. That's right. And you know who put you in the body of Christ?
Holy Spirit.
Come on, people. I hope I ain't failing y'all. Who put you in the body of Christ?
The Holy Spirit.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free. So we that have now trusted Christ as our personal Savior, because we're not in the covenants of promise, we are still in the same body with these people. And that body's there in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Verse 5. We're all members in one body. Whose body is it? It's his body. And that body was resurrected in AD 33. Before I wasn't born until 35, and I was resurrected in AD 33 when he died. That's fabulous. That blows my mind. Based on God's foreknowledge, he knew who would trust Christ as their personal Savior. He knew Paul before the foundation of the world. And Paul told us in Galatians, when it pleased the Lord to separate me from my mother's womb and call me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. He said, I went over to Jerusalem to talk to the 12 apostles. No. He said, I did not go over to Jerusalem and talk to them 12. You know why? They didn't have anything they could add to Paul. If you left here, if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, and you left here, and you went and joined a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or whatever church you wanted to, there ain't nothing they got that they can add to you. You know why? As soon as you trust Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into this body, and according to Colossians, you are complete in Him. You ain't got to stand in line and take no wafer to have Christ in you. Christ is in you. How? By faith. By faith. Now, Exodus 23, verse 20. Now, this is God talking to Moses about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They've been in Egypt for about 430 years now. In verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of her. Beware of what? You mean angels ain't ladies? Beware of him. Men, y'all know y'all are angels? No, y'all are the devils.
That's funny.
I was talking to a man yesterday, and he said this. He said, that fellow sitting in that chair over there, I'll be so glad when he gets out of here. He said, I've been seeing that fellow all morning. I'm praying for him at this time because his little old man is messing up. He said, I hope it ain't no angel come to get me. And I didn't tell him ain't no angel gonna come out. You know who's coming after us? Y'all know who's coming after the church and body of Christ? Who's the head of the church and body of Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ said, who's coming for you? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know who's coming for these saints over here that go through the tribulation? An angel. An angel. You know who added to this church here? The Lord. You know who added to this church back here? Now see, y'all just sit there and let me do something, and ain't there one of you open your mouth. And I just got through telling you how you got into the church of body of Christ. How did you get into the church of body of Christ? The Holy Spirit. Did the Lord put you in it? No, the Holy Spirit did. You know why? The Lord adds to this church, Acts 2:47. Study it. People, y'all got to study. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 21, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, well, it's God's angel, it's the voice of God speaking to him. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the Lord speaking to him. Go back to Matthew chapter 16 now. Matthew 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, that ain't the church, the body of Christ. Let me show you the rock. Go to Deuteronomy. Excuse me. Yeah, let's do it there. Go to Deuteronomy. We'll go to Deuteronomy 32 and we'll take Numbers chapter 20. Deuteronomy 32. Numbers chapter 20. Bye. I'll get there in a minute. I'm in chapter 23. That ain't 32. Alright, we're at Numbers 20. And we're going to start in Numbers 20, verse 7. I'm going to skip around a little bit here now. But you go home and read the whole chapter so you don't think I'm pulling the wool over your eyes by not reading all of it this morning. Now, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, that's Israel, thou and Aaron thy brother, Aaron the high priest. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it, the rock, it shall bring forth what? Its water? No, his water. It shall bring forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast to drink. Verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Uh-oh. You know what that represents? It represents the Lord Jesus Christ dying at Calvary. But what did God tell Moses to do?
Speak
to the rock. You know why? He's already smote the rock. You know what that tells you? When you get over here into the book of Hebrews, those that fall away, it is impossible for them to be saved. In other words, these people that preach, you just backslid, you need to come back and get baptized again and rededicate and all this and confess your sins and God will save you. No, over here, after the rapture of the church, in the Hebrew epistles, you can't be saved again lest you break reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ and crucify him afresh. You understand? That's what the example is here. Now let's see where he spoke to him the first time. Go to Exodus chapter 17. I believe that's it. Give me a minute. In Exodus 17, verse 5, I'm breaking into context for time's sake now. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, taking thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come forth and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink, and Moses did so in the sight of... Did Moses smite the rock?
Yeah.
Go back to Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall bring forth his water. Well, the rock is Jesus Christ. Go to Deuteronomy 32. Matthew 16:18, he said, upon this rock, Jesus Christ is the rock. Now, Matthew 32. What did I tell you? Deuteronomy 32. Matthew ain't got 32 chapters. Matthew, Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jezreel, that's a reference to Israel. You'll find that in verse 31, verse 19, along in there. This is a reference to Israel. But Jezreel waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. When he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock. You see that capital R? That's the Lord. Esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Them's idols, beloved. And you can find them in churches today by the millions. With abominations provoked he them to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. That rock was, did the rock beget Israel? Well, you know what? I believe in just one little verse I can show you who Peter wrote to. Y'all want to see it?
Yeah.
Go to 1 Peter. Hold up. Well, you don't have to hold that. You can hold Matthew. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, this is going to be important. Verse 1. I'm going to read two verses. I lied to you. I told you I could do it in one, but I want to read two verses to you. 1 Peter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. When did he beget them the first time? When he brought them out of Israel. The rock that followed them. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is why Paul uses these verses in the first six epistles he uses, because these people are allied with Israel. You understand? He quotes Old Testament scriptures over and over and over in these first six epistles. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. As they went through the Red Sea over there, when Moses led them out, the angel of the Lord went before them. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was what? Christ. Amen. You can't miss it if you just study your Bible and cross-reference these things and compare one verse with another, so I know that 1 Peter ain't writ to the church of body of Christ. You understand? I don't worry about what Peter told them people. I get my instructions from the Apostle Paul in 13 epistles, rightly divided. And if I wrongly divide them, I just get all beside myself because I get all confused. Lord, I got a sick friend I've been knowing for 70-something years, and I want to lay my hands on him and heal him. And Paul said, I could have this power. He had the power of an apostle. How come I can't do it? I got sick friends all around me. Myself, I'd heal me first. Beloved, if Benny Hinn had the power to heal anything, he wouldn't stop with old fools like me. He'd be over there where them little babies are that's dying and begging for somebody to make a donation so they can find a cure. I don't believe they want to find a cure. I believe the money is so much into this thing that if they'd sell you down the drain for another dollar. I told my doctor he'd give me some medicine and make me sick, and I won't take it. He said, well, this stuff's going to kill you. I said, well, it may kill me, but I'm not going to kill myself with your medicine. Yeah. I told my wife, I said, if he gives me any trouble, I'll quit him. I don't need him anyhow. I'll quit him. Now, if we had the power that these men back here, these 12 men had, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Apostle Paul had to heal, and you see, if you don't rightly divide, there's things in here that we can't do. And we can't just sweep them under the rug and hide them. There's got to be a reason why. This is a more excellent way over here, you understand? It's more needful that we understand right division so we don't get tossed to and fro. Now, back to Matthew chapter. I think we know who the rock is, don't we?
Yeah.
All right. So, I know the Lord. Well, go back to Matthew and then take Acts 2. Matthew 16, Acts 2. Let's do it there. Acts 2. You know, I'd be a nut, and I am about half nuts. I ain't got too good a sense. But I'd be an idiot to try to tell you that Peter is talking to you in the book of Acts 2 and Acts 3, Acts 4, 5, on up to 10. I'd be a nut to try to tell you that Peter is talking to you, when we just saw who Peter wrote to in 1st and 2nd Peter. I know who he wrote to. Those that were begotten of God. We saw them back then, Deuteronomy 32, of the rock that begot thee. Begotten us again over here. Well, we've never been begotten before. One time, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from death. That's what Ephesians 1's about. God did a work when he raised Christ from the dead, and that work is his body. You understand? And every person, now listen to me, if you sitting here and you ain't saved, God Almighty knows it. Now you may fool us, you may fool your mom and your daddy and your kids or your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and your preacher, but you don't fool God. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, you know it. If you're lost, you know it. You know it. I ain't gotta tell you, look at you and tell you you're lost, because I can't. When I look at y'all, I see me. You may not look at me sometimes and see that I'm saved. But I know I am according to what God Almighty promised me in Romans to Philemon. He told me that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, by which you, what? Are saved. Not going to be. Are saved. I know he told me in the book of Ephesians that he's already quickened me together with Christ. Colossians, he told me that he quickened me together, having forgiven me all trespasses. That's the ones I'm going to commit today, God forbid. But when the ones I'm going to commit tomorrow, God forbid that I am. But I will, because I know I'm a carnal individual. I know y'all won't, because y'all not carnal. Y'all good little people. You can make up your own mind whether you're carnal or not. God Almighty knows you. You can't fool God. I know when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for all the trespasses that anybody in the church, the body of Christ, ever did or ever will commit. You understand? They paid for. Does that mean that we just go out here and live like hell? No, it don't. Paul said, clean up the filth of the flesh and the spirit. Well, how you clean up the spirit? Somebody talk to him. How you clean up the spirit?
Read the Bible.
By right division. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Not a word, the word, the word. I got some books at home that's got a word in it, and you may find some good verses in it every now and then, but it's got lies in it, and if God can lie in this spot, well, maybe he's lying over here. God can't lie, and he will not lie. Hath he not said, and will he not make it good? He said he would. Now, in Acts 2 and Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18 again. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Well, we know who the rock is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I will build my church. And by the way, if you studied John chapter 4, when we was reading that back there in Exodus and Deuteronomy and places back there in Numbers, when he spoke to the rock and all, it brought forth his water. And you think about John chapter 4, if the wet Jacob's well. Jesus Christ said, you drink of this water and you'll thirst again, but you drink of the water that I'll give you, it'll be a river of water flowing in your belly unto everlasting life. You know where you find that water? Over in the book of Revelation. There's a river of water coming out of the throne room. And on either side of that river is a tree of life. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Hold the fort. Do you know those that Peter wrote to in 1 and 2 Peter? He told them, by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, that ain't your promise. Beloved, if I'm healed by his stripes, he needs some more stripes. And I ain't quite done yet. You understand? My bowel body ain't been changed yet. I don't know about yours, but mine ain't been changed yet. Now, Acts 2. Now, I know this rock that Jesus Christ said he's going to build that church on is him. He's the rock. Now, Acts 2, this is the day of Pentecost. Chapter 2, verse 1. And by the way, Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. It's a Jewish feast day. And I suspect that this is 10 days after Acts chapter 1, verse 9. The Lord was received up. I suspect this is basically somewhere around 10 days. Penny is 50. Okay? So this is the day of Pentecost. Peter's doing the preaching. Look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, these apostles, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. He didn't say a wind came in there. He said a sound as a... We used to play musical wonders over at the Gulf. We had a beach house over there years ago until Frederick. And you could crack them windows a little bit when the wind was blowing, and you could crack a nut a little further, and that wind would whistle through there, and you could raise them up and down and make a tune now. The wind wasn't coming in, but the sound, I could hear the sound. I wasn't deaf bad back then. I probably couldn't hear it now. But anyway, this is a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The sound did. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. It didn't say they got the fiery baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, we got Pentecostal people that take these verses right here and try to pray to get the baptism of fire, and you don't want it. You know what the fire going to do? It's going to burn you up. I got a fireplace at the house, and I put a log in there. Me and my grandson, we love to build a fire. Put some fat lighter in there, and just a little while, it's gone. It's burned up. Got a pile of ashes left. You don't want the baptism of fire. That's a future advent over here at the second coming over here. Now, so I know who's in verse 4. And they, these apostles, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. He didn't say they were Jew and Gentile, did he? He said they were Jews. Come over to verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye of Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. He's talking to Israel. Come to verse 22. Ye men of Israel. Who is Peter talking to? Jews, Israelites. Come to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, not forgiveness, remission, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and your children and the Gentiles that are far off. No, it didn't say that. Don't let nobody tell you that the Gentiles is in there. That's Israel. It's all the way far off. You can find that in several places, especially in Daniel chapter 9, verse 7. All Israel that are far off, that are near and far off. So Peter is preaching to Israel. Verse 41, then they, these Israelites, these Jews, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And by the way, they ain't saved. You know what they got to do yet? They got to endure to the end to be saved. They got remission of sins. But if they don't endure to the end, they won't be saved. And they did, some of them endured to the end of their life when this dispensation here was ushered in here. They endured to the end of their life. They never rejected the Lord. But if they were looking to go into the tribulation, and he done warned them, if you take the mark of the beast over here, it's Katie boy the door. So they had to give up their life, and you'll find that in Revelation 2 and Revelation 10. They love not their life unto the death. And he trained them that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25. That church that he built had to endure to the end. And he said the gates of hell, you know why he said that? Because in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I have the keys of hell and death. So Israel, when they died, could not go up because they had not had forgiveness. They went down into Abraham's bosom. And beloved, whether people like it or not, they are still down there waiting on that day right there when they will receive forgiveness of sins. He said, this is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. I ain't got no covenant to wait on. I ain't got no second coming. I'm saved right now until the day of redemption. And what is that redemption? Of my vile body. He purchased me at Calvary with his shed blood. In Ephesians chapter 5, he was a satisfied sacrifice. God smelt a sweet smelling Savior. Something sweet in the nostrils of God Almighty. But you know what he hates? He hates idolatry. He does. He hates idolatry. Over and over and over, he tells them about idolatry and not to get involved in it. And our country is headed down the tube. When our leader, and I don't mind telling you, I don't like him, when our leader turns on this country, on our God, and says that he's apologizing for this country burning the Koran, we're in deep trouble.
We're Amen. In deep trouble.
That's sad. That's sad. What do we need to do? Pray for him. Somebody get the truth to him. Do you know what the Koran is? It's a Muslim Bible. It's a Muslim Bible. Do you know how many Bibles there are? There ain't but one. There ain't but one. That's bad, ain't it? I tell you, we're in a mess. But look at this church here before my time gets up. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, now listen. Why can't we do these signs and wonders today? You know what? Israel's low am now. They're not God's people today. God ain't dealing with Israel today. He's dealing with anybody that'll trust that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Well, the end of covenant or promise ain't got nothing to do with it. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he died for you. Paid for your sins. What do you need to do? need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't trust me. Don't trust some man. God told you over and over and over not to put no confidence in man. Put your confidence in the Lord. What he done for you at Calvary. Verse 44. And all that believe were together, had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods. Parted them to all men as every man had need. Are y'all about ready to sell out? I mean, he told these people in Luke 12 and Luke 18, he said, sell all that you got. Acts 2, they sold out everything they had, the lands and houses and everything. You know why? They figured within about probably 7 more years, everything was going to be restored to them again. As in the day of liberty, everything had to go back where it come from. They could get it back. It'd be theirs anyhow. Now watch what he says here. Verse 46. And they continued steadfastly in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. And having favor with all the people, and the Lord added what? To the church. Daily, such as. Let me hear you say. Such as are saved?
No,
such as should be saved. They got remission. We got forgiveness. They get forgiveness at the second coming. The Lord added to this church, the Holy Spirit adds to this church right here. The angels come for this church. The Lord himself comes for this church. He tells them in the parables, let both grow together until the time of the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I'll send my angels, and they'll gather out of my kingdom all things that offend, and them that do wickedly, and they'll bind them and burn them in the furnace. You don't want to be in this time over here. If you're sitting here and you ain't saved, you've heard the gospel of Christ, and you go in to the tribulation, you will believe the Antichrist. God Almighty said, I'm going to cause you to believe him. And you know how you're going to believe him? By all of his signs and wonders that he's able to do. You know what you need to do? We need to pray harder and harder and harder for our country. Our country's in bad shape. It ain't because we're broke. God owns every bit of it anyhow. That's all his. It ain't ours. Our country has turned away from the God, the creator of heaven and earth. Our religious systems are turning away from the God of creation. Our schools are teaching evolution. You can talk evolution every day in school, but don't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to get fired, lose your job, get prosecuted. So we need to pray for our leaders of our country. And when you go to vote, be sure that you know who you're voting for, if you can. And I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to vote anymore or not. To me, all you're doing is voting for another crook. Because I don't know of a one of them that's give a testimony. Y'all, I ain't watched too many of them debates or whatever they call it. Have y'all heard any of them give a testimony or any credit to the Lord Jesus Christ? I haven't. You make up your own mind. I mean, well, I think we ought to vote, but who you going to vote for, I don't know. Don't ask me because I ain't got the foggiest idea. What's the issue then? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I appreciate y'all being here. It's good to see each and every one of you. And I hope you come back again.